Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light. Well, this has been a very busy year for the staff of the IOCC, the International Orthodox Christian Charities. The fires in the western U.S., the floods in Colorado, and the refugee situations in several parts of the world have kept the small staff on the go. We'll get an update on their work with families in Greece, where the country's economic woes have many people looking for help. We'll also hear about another journey, this one, to the Orthodox Church.
Orthodoxy, just by nature, teaches us about the Holy Trinity. It's contained in the Holy Liturgy. We know directly, experientially, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is perfect. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He knows all. He is unlimited. Those things, believe it or not, were missing in my education as a young person.
He sounds a bit more surprised than I am that those understandings were missing in his education. How about you? That will be our featured conversation a little bit later here on Come Receive the Light. We are a weekly broadcast visit from the Orthodox Christian Network, or OCN, a nonprofit ministry, sharing the good news of the gospel from an Orthodox Christian perspective. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and our website is myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And when you go to the website, look for the OCN Amazon store. You'll find books and music to strengthen and encourage you in your Christian walk there, whether you're at the beginning of the journey or down the road a bit. For instance, the Book of Romans, an Orthodox Bible Study Companion, is a resource you'll find in the bookstore. It's one in a series of several study companions to the Orthodox Christian Bible, published by Thomas Nelson. The blurb about the book says, "Written from an Orthodox and patristic perspective, it maintains a balance between the devotional and the exegetical, feeding both the heart and the mind." I like that. Check out the OCN Amazon store. There's a link right there on our homepage at myocn.net. And remember, it's not too early to think about some meaningful gifts for the Christmas season. Any purchase you make generates a donation to the Orthodox Christian Network. A portion of what you spend comes back to the ministry. Speaking of supporting the ministry, are you a golfer? Well, it doesn't matter. The upcoming OCN annual golf tournament is all about having a good time and supporting the ministry. Now, the date is October 21st, just a few weeks away, and further details are on the website at myocn.net. And now with his first conversation, here's Father Chris.
We want to welcome Dean Trandafilo, the Executive Director of IOCC, to talk with us about the humanitarian effort in Greece. Hi, Dean. How are you?
Good. Hey, Father. How are you doing?
Very good. Let's talk about IOCC and the humanitarian presence in Greece. What's going on?
IOCC has been in Greece. We've got a physical presence for almost 20 years. And the interesting thing was that the first, you know, three quarters of that, the Greece office was a supply support funding office for our programs, particularly in Bosnia and other countries like Ethiopia and the West Bank, providing funding from the Greek Ministry of Foreign Affairs and what have you. And since the fires, the wildfires in the Peloponnese, it's now become an operational office reaching out and supporting the people of Greece. And now with the current economic crisis, we've been doing more emergency work.
You know, we've heard a lot in Greece about what's happening to the Greek families. The elderly, the disabled, the cutbacks, high unemployment, health care, pensions. Talk to us about IOCC's assisting the actual Greek families. What's happening there?
For the last couple of years, we've been inside working with Apostoli, which is the church's relief and development organization, the Archdiocese of Athens, and reaching out to people. They've got soup kitchens. They've got food distribution banks. We've even gone so far now as far as with the support of AHEPA and Philoptos. We've been bringing containers of medical supplies to various hospitals and on the mainland and some of the islands. Everywhere you look, you know, I recently, not too long ago, was visiting and went to a soup kitchen, and you can see that it's impacting everyone, young and the old. You go to the the medical clinics, you can see, you know, kids aren't able to get the inoculations they need to get. People that you would think, you know, are dressed nicely, why would they be sitting in a soup kitchen line or a food line? You know, they're sharing, you know, like any ethnic or Greek family is going to do, they're sharing with each other. So now you're seeing the elderly caring for their children and welcoming their children home, sharing their pensions or giving their pensions, and they're going to stand up in line for the food. So it's been a major challenge, you know, for all of us as staff, and me particularly, as having been worked so much with the Greek office, you know, being the recipient when I was in Bosnia of trucks upon trucks from Greece, you know, helping people during the Bosnian the conflict and the challenges of the sanctions in Serbia. And now to see, you know, Greece being on the other end, needing to get, you know, the emergency supplies and the support. A couple of years ago, one of our founders, John Rangas, really came out and championed the cause and said, you know, Dean, you really got to get going on Greece. Things are going to get really, you know, challenging there. And, you know, he gave us some initial grant money to get started as far as some food programs. And that's led to the larger programs that we're starting now.
Right. Your office had supplied us with some quotes of people. This one here is a single mother of Alexandros, 12 years old, who lost her job when the Greek economy collapsed, and she said, "Wherever I go, I find only closed doors. I am peaceful that at least with this help, I can secure basic food for my son and hope that God will help us." How do you like that one? And then there's another one.
That's the tragedy.
And that's the tragedy, yeah. And then there's another one. "For 20 years, I struggled as a taxi driver to establish a home for my family, and thank God I did it." That's 40-year-old Panayotis, who came to receive food for his family. "My 75-year-old mother, with her small pension, now supports my 11-year-old son, Michael. What she gives from her pension deprives her of food and medicine in order to help my family." I mean, these are real people in real suffering, and IOCC clearly is helping them out. Talk to us a little bit about, I think the numbers are staggering when you let people know what kind of support, the level of medical support, the level, the pounds of food that are given out. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, everything we're doing is with Apostoli, and they've been able to. And the beauty for me in this program is not just, you know, a hand out. It's also a hand up, because what's happening in the program that Apostoli designed was, you know, they're getting food commodities. We're bringing medical supplies in. I mean, to date, I think we're at 4.4 million in medical supplies. They're going over from here that we've been able to get for the hospitals in Greece. But when you look at the food program that we've built on, and one of the beauties of is trying to support them and lift their programs up, is that Apostoli is able to get food commodities from the average family who's gone shopping at the grocery store. And while they bought five bags or three bags for themselves, they're leaving one bag at the grocery store. The grocery store is collecting those bags and then shipping them to an Apostoli warehouse. Yeah. And from there, they're getting reconstituted and converted into food parcels for families. And so we've been able to kind of help them as far as, you know, employ people to reorganize these food commodities and to create these food parcels, you know, and at the same time, you know, as far as help the church, help the people, and the people are helping themselves. And you're talking, you know, over 350,000 pounds of food to date. You know, 50,000 people as far as receiving food parcels. You know, so it's really large scale, and it's going to continue, and the needs are going to continue. And one of the things when I met with His Eminence, Beatitude Archbishop Hieronymus, was, you know, how do we help people with dignity? And how do we help people with dignity and respect? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we've worked on, and with the help of the Hellenic Initiative and Mr. Rangas and HEPA and the private donors, you know, and the blessing of Archbishop Demetrius, we've created and have just started this month a new program that hopefully will continue along that theme and support people with fresh produce, and it'll complement the dry goods that they're getting in the food parcels. So large families will be able to get a food coupon or card similar to the affinity cards we have in the States, and they'll be able to take that to the grocery store and buy fresh produce themselves. They won't be standing in line at a soup kitchen or what have you. They'll actually go to the grocery store and they'll purchase the commodities. The card will be specific for what type of commodities they'll be able to buy in that particular week, depending on what we can get from the farmers, because The other goal is to do local procurements as you're generating, and the monies that we're bringing over are being reinvested in Greece, so that a majority, if not almost all of the funds that we bring over, will be done with local procurement going to Greek farmers and Greek producers to keep the money in country and to support them as far as their businesses as they try to rebuild. So that's pretty much what we're doing now. We're pretty focused on working with the church to identify what's next to kind of help kind of move things along the continuum.
All right, so you've mentioned the AHEPA, you mentioned early supporter, Mr. John Rangos, you mentioned the Hellenic Initiative. I know that Jaharis Foundation has also given a gift there too, right?
Yes, sir. That's the next one on the docket. We've been working closely with the Jaharis Family Foundation. They've been extremely generous, giving us a challenge grant of $1 million. $1.2 million. That will go for major expansion and continuation of this fresh produce program that we just talked about. It'll also be for some more as far as medical supplies, containers going over to help the medical institutions, and it'll also contain the component that'll bring heating fuel to some of the larger institutions, elderly institutions, things like that, that aren't able to heat the institutions during the winter. Mm-hmm. So we're working closely with the Jaharis Family Foundation. They gave the gift in honor of Archbishop Demetrius and Archbishop Euonymous, for the suffering people of Greece, based on their personal experiences, you know, growing up in Greece. They wanted to make sure that the needs were being met, especially as far as the children. And so we've been working on this program with them to expand the reach and the scope, and also rise to their challenge. You know, they've challenged us and challenged our constituents to see if we can match, you know, as far as their generous gift of $1 million, and that's what we're pretty focused on right now.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, Dean, clearly IOCC is doing remarkable work, and there is a huge need in the country of Greece. I mean, why they got there and where they are today, that's a subject for a different conversation.
Another day.
That's another day. This is a conversation about real need, real people, and how we as Christians, as Orthodox Christians, respond. James says in the Bible, there will never cease to be people, poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. Very clear, very clear. Let's talk finally about how people can, our listeners can, help IOCC help these folks.
Keep them in their prayers. You know, they want, you know, their lives to turn back around. Help them, help themselves. You know, whether it's through, you know, the web and supporting our initiatives as far as the fundraising side, that's an important piece. The more we can get together in the next couple months to match the Jaharis Foundation grant, the more we'll be able to do, and the more we will be able to progress to programs that are not just emergency programs, but development programs that help people get reestablished and create new opportunities for them to carry themselves out of this current crisis. So getting engaged at the parishes, getting engaged with our volunteer groups that are doing fundraisers or just supporting the appeals that are coming out, that will be coming out from IOCC, we'd be most grateful for.
Okay. So, folks, you've heard it. International Emergency Response Fund has been created. You can go online at www.iocc.org, or you can call toll-free to their headquarters at 877-803-4622. We want everyone to get behind this effort, and obviously we can all then take advantage of the tremendous matching gift that has come from the Jaharis Foundation, in addition and in conjunction to the other gifts that have been given from all over the world to assist the country of Greece. Dean, thank you again, and our best to everyone at IOCC. You certainly are in our prayers.
Thank you, Father, for all you do. Thank you very much.
Probably the easiest way to find out about how you can support the ministry is simply to go to the IOCC website at iocc.org. That's iocc.org. Or go to our website and we'll have a link for you at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And remember that the Orthodox Christian Network is a nonprofit outreach as well. We depend upon your generosity and your encouragement. We'd love to hear from you. If you've not gotten in touch with us at OCN, please do so and share your thoughts with us. There's a great blog site on our website called The Sounding that gives you an opportunity to interact on a variety of subjects with others around the world. Just come to myocn.net and click on the blog link there on our homepage. Well, our feature conversation this week is with Norris Chumley, a past guest, an Emmy-winning producer and director, an author, and a professor. You can go to our website at myocn.net and click on the CRTL link and open up our archives to listen to our past conversations with him about the Jesus Prayer. Here again is Father Chris.
Welcome back, Norris.
Thank you so much, Father Chris. God bless you, and thank you for having me on your program again today. I feel very blessed for this experience. Thank you.
Let's go back and talk about your earliest memories of faith, because we're speaking this month on interviews dealing with conversion to Orthodoxy. So I'd like to try to start sort of in the early part of life and maybe those earliest memories of faith.
At dinner last night, someone was asking me if I feel the presence of God, because they said that they didn't. And I shared with that friend of mine that pretty much I have often felt God's presence with me. And I think that goes back to my very, very earliest childhood memories, particularly my caretaker, a woman named Georgia Deal, who worked for our family for 50 years. When I was, three or four years old, she'd been reading me books about Jesus Christ, and I was always very interested in the Lord. And at one point, Georgia said to me, "You know, honey, you can speak to God directly because he's listening." And I asked her, "Well, Georgia, how do you do that?" She said, "Well, you do it through prayer." And she taught me how to pray. It's just simply you speak to God and tell him you love him, and then if you've got a problem or a need or something, you can just ask him directly. And that had such a profound impact on me, Father Chris. I began to pray immediately, and I have pretty much prayed to God every day of my life since then for a very long time now. And then later on, I was thinking, well, if God hears my prayers, even if I pray aloud or just silently inside myself, that must mean that God is also with me inside me and can hear my prayers, which has been just very, very important to me.
Okay.
My entire life.
Let me ask you this then, Norris. We have the so-called personal relationship with Christ that we hear a lot about today in the media and in various churches. And then we have a theological component in some churches that's completely divorced from the other, and some they're meshed. When did theology become important to you rather than just that personal relationship with Christ?
Well, it all boils down to something fairly simple for me, Father Chris. Theology, the definition of the term, is talking about God and thinking about God, mm-hmm. Or studying God. I've always talked about God with others, although I never did that in any formal sort of way, and I didn't really study how others communicated with or had personal relationships with Christ, mm-hmm. with God in flesh, until I went to graduate school. That's been around 10, 15 years ago now. I embarked on a theological education at Union Theological Seminary in New York City and began to formally study theology, and just found it incredibly illuminating to hear how others speak about God and interact with God and have relationships with Jesus Christ. It was just eminently interesting to me.
Any specific spiritual role models along the way?
Oh, very many, gosh. There are the ancient fathers and mothers of our church, and I love reading them in particular. St. Antony, of course, Philokalia, I love so much. A book written in the 7th century, The Spiritual Meadow. Maximus the Confessor, his writings were most interesting to me. St. Gregory, gosh, long list.
Long list
more
of
recently,
people.
Elder Paisius of the Holy Mountain. Then there were some people, contemporaries, who have been very inspiring to me. A fellow student of mine in the doctoral program at Union Theological Seminary and Columbia University, who was also ultimately my priest, Father George Zugravu. He was very, very influential and was a real role model to me as a spiritual father and priest. Father John McGuckin, one of my professors in my doctoral program at Union Theological Seminary, I enjoyed many of his classes. Particularly, he taught me about the Jesus Prayer, and I'm very thankful to him for that. And I have a wonderful spiritual father right now, Father Vasilios Vesikiros at St. John, the Evangelist Church in New York City. So I really have had a number of wonderful spiritual role models and guides. I'm very blessed.
But let's go back a little bit. I know that you were a Quaker.
Yes.
Can you give us bullets, one, two, three possibly, key beliefs of that church?
Well, the Quaker Church, of course, is a Protestant church. It's one of the more recent contemporary Protestant methodologies, and I guess you can call it a religion, although the Quakers themselves call themselves a Society of Friends. They focus, number one bullet point, on the presence of God. Number two, they're mystical. Number three, they practice silence and silent contemplation, a form of esychia, if you would.
I was going to say, there's a connection here, isn't there?
There is a connection. But what's different between the Friends Society, the Quakers, and Orthodoxy, even though they both are about, to me, the direct experience of God or feeling, if so blessed by our Lord, a sense of the presence of God with us, they are totally diametrically opposite in their practices. Hmm. What I love about Orthodoxy is it is so tangible. The Quaker meeting is not. The Quakers sit and meet together pretty much in silence, and if someone feels so moved and delivers a message, then that's pretty much the extent of the practices. There are not a lot of teachings about our Lord. There's, at least there wasn't in the meeting that I attended. There were not a lot of scriptural instructions, which ultimately I found I needed. So Orthodoxy for me is so much about the second person of God, of Jesus Christ, God taking bodily human form, and his amazing gift of the holy mysteries, the Eucharist. That's completely missing in the Quaker.
I can't imagine if you go from the Quaker experience to the Orthodox experience where your senses are bombarded.
Yes.
Every one of your senses is bombarded. So that must have been quite a difference. Let me ask you this. Were there any teachings as a Quaker, even as a young man, that may not have made sense or that caused you to struggle in your heart?
Well, I don't want to say anything bad about it.
No, not bad. Just
any, religion. But yes.
They were. Okay.
My path to Orthodoxy has been rather circuitous, I must admit, Father. I was actually initially baptized in the Episcopal Church. My parents took me and my siblings to a few Episcopal Church services. But looking back at my education, my experiences in the Episcopal Church and in the Protestant Church in general, the Quaker meeting, there was quite a lot missing. To be very specific, this I learned in graduate school, about the Holy Trinity. Hmm. Before I took formal courses in theology and in religion, really knew anything about the Holy Trinity. Hmm. Nor did I know about the councils, the seven councils. The creed would be recited, but I had no concept of what it really meant and the etymology of that creed. But in Orthodoxy, all of those points are very clear. Orthodoxy, just by nature, teaches us about the Holy Trinity. It's contained in the Holy Liturgy. What I love about Orthodoxy, we know directly, experientially, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is perfect. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. He knows all. He is unlimited. Those things, believe it or not, were missing in my education as a young person.
Interesting. Well, as we talk about being a Quaker and becoming Orthodox, let me ask you that, I think, a natural question here. Were there any Orthodox teachings that you struggled with?
The scriptural teachings, no. Mm-hmm. Dogma, no, not really. The only thing at all that I could think of that I've struggled with Orthodoxy is the reality, the empirical reality, that women cannot be and are not clergy. I initially wondered about that. And I wondered, why is it that it's priests who are men who celebrate the divine liturgy and women actually don't? But then I realized that I was mistaken. That was eventually resolved and beautifully answered when, in the process of writing my book and making the movie Mysteries of the Jesus Prayer, by an abbess of a convent in Romania, Abbess Irina at Voronezh, she said, and I asked the same question that you asked, and I asked in particular about women. She explained to me that women and men are really equals. We just have different responsibilities.
That's good.
But the church considers women just as important as men are. It's just that we do different things. And I think that that's fine. So that made me feel far more comfortable.
Okay. Finally, let me ask you this. Was there a particular moment that stands out in your mind where you said, aha, you know, now I'm an Orthodox Christian?
Yes, because I am at home. I have found the perfect church for me. I've been searching my entire life, in hindsight, for the right church, the right body of Jesus Christ for me, and I found it. I am at home when I am with other Orthodox members and in an Orthodox church. I'm a person, because of my job, I travel a lot. I go to many churches all over the world. And whenever I am in an Orthodox church, I am at home.
Thank you, Norris. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What a beautiful description of how he feels with the Orthodox Christian faith and being in an Orthodox church. That's Norris Chumley. If you have a story, a testimony, a journey of faith that you'd feel comfortable sharing with us, we'd sure love to hear that. Just get in touch with us through the website at myocn.net. There's a number of ways that you can communicate to us when you go to the website. That's myocn.net. www.thegreekfamily.net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And thanks, as always, to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. Let your friends know about the website and the ministry and this particular broadcast, and steer them toward myocn.net. And join us again next week at this same time. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.